Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org.
The U.S. sneezes, the world gets sick.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Global stock markets are telling us the U.S. is headed for recession, if we're not already in one. Today, steep losses in Asia and Europe after yesterday's plunge on Wall Street. Overnight in Japan, the Nikkei lost 3%. Hong Kong was down 5%. Intel added fuel to the fire late yesterday. The leading chip maker will earn less in the coming months. Let's bring in Nick Hasel of the Times of London. Nick, what is trading like in the U.K. this morning?
It's pretty bad. The FTSE is now down 8% since the start of the year. And the thing about the FTSE last year was it had such a high weighting in oil stocks and in mining stocks that although some of all the consumer stocks, the retailers, the hotel operators, the restaurant operators have done very badly, because the miners held up well, that hasn't hurt us. But now even the miners aren't coming to the index's aid, so hence we're coming off. And partly that is because those sort of stocks are sensitive to the U.S. recession.
It used to be that many were arguing in favor of a global growth story, which is to say that even if the U.S. were to slow down, economies in China, Russia, India, Brazil could kind of make up the difference. Isn't that the case?
The old decoupling argument, as it's been called. Certainly, having any exposure to those markets has been the flavor over the last year or so. And you've certainly seen it with those stocks here in London that have emerging market exposure. But at the same time, it's still quite hard to believe that should the U.S. Enter recession, the old laws would not apply.
Nick Hasel is a business writer for the Times of London. Nick, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Many thanks.
Yesterday, the big story was the $10 billion loss at Citigroup and news of abysmal retail sales during December. That helped drive the Dow down 277 to 12,501. The S&P lost 35. The NASDAQ fell 60 points. Soon you'll get your retirement account statements for the fourth quarter. They may help illustrate what a tough year 07 was for many mutual funds. Hedge funds, though, were a different story. Hedge fund research says the average fund returned more than 10% last year. And as Ashley Milne-Tite reports, some are pretty bullish on hedge funds this year.
Institutional investors are expected to park more money in hedge funds this year. Frank Sanderson is an analyst with securities research firm Lipper. He says hedge fund managers could employ a number of winning strategies, including investing in companies in financial trouble.
The trick amongst hedge fund managers and the skill is picking the right company or picking the right sector, and obviously then holding that in the majority of cases until the market picks up.
Others will make money by successfully betting that a company will default. Chris Cutler of Manager Analysis Services says some of 2007's most successful hedge funds scored using just that tactic.
The subprime wave was a tremendous macroeconomic distressed bet, and you know, a few names have been in the paper about how successful they were.
Such as hedge fund Paulson & Company, which former Fed chief Alan Greenspan has just joined as an advisor. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, the world's daily news and information source. Before it's news, it's Reuters. And by LendingTree, where you can choose up to four customized loan offers, 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win.
The number of passengers traveling by train in the U.S. is rising. That's good news for Amtrak. As Danielle Carson reports, there's growing momentum in Congress to keep the rail system's wheels turning, with a bigger chunk of federal dollars.
On Amtrak, you can travel over 500 destinations.
People fed up with traffic jams and soaring gas prices are getting the message. In fact, Amtrak has been chugging towards a record number of passengers. Almost 26 million rode on trains last year.
Everybody is seeing the different economic boundary conditions with high energy prices, with a much higher sensitivity toward environmental footprint, land use footprint. And I think on those fronts, all of those movements help us.
Amtrak CEO Alex Kumon says ticket sales are up. For years, Amtrak was the poster child for a government enterprise that couldn't pay its own way. But now Congress is shifting away from that demand. Ross Capon is with the National Association of Railroad Passengers.
The highway system as a whole is not profitable. The aviation system as a whole is not profitable. Amtrak is basically the entire ball of wax. The rail equivalent of the air traffic control system, the airport authorities, and the carriers. They're holding passenger rail up to a standard that no one asks the other forms of transportation to meet.
Now the Senate wants to infuse $12 billion into Amtrak. It wants greater efficiency, not profits. But some critics, like Florida Congressman John Mica, say Amtrak needs a serious overhaul to provide high-speed service like European trains that travel 120 miles an hour. The government isn't willing to spend that kind of money, so he says Amtrak should be privatized. That way, Amtrak's acela service between Washington and New York City could become a moneymaker.
Amtrak's acela goes at an average of 83 miles an hour. Think of the revenue that would be generated. Think how many people would utilize a true high-speed rail service getting from New York to Washington in an hour and a half.
President Bush has said he wants to privatize parts of Amtrak. So far, he isn't saying whether he'll veto the measure. In Washington, I'm Danielle Carson for Marketplace.
One of the longest-running shows on Broadway will close June 1st. The musical Rent has been described as an East Village rock version of Puccini's opera La Bohème. Since it opened on Broadway in April 1996, Rent has grossed more than $280 million. The show earned another $330 million on the road. Rent won 4 Tony Awards and the Pulitzer Prize. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.